Sometimes I think I have a really bad disease that everyone knows about except me, and they don't want to tell me because they want to do cherishing or something, and they don't like to get in the way of that usually, so they are all there and think I am especially important. But I'm just me, I'm just the regular type of important, and thing or things evolve with that. That's a very familiar feeling. For some, though not I, not I. And I am telling you so that you know it's the truth. I'm sure you would tell me if I had the disease that people don't like to talk to you about, but everybody knows about it but the person that has it. You would, I'm sure. I'm sure that I am always sure. But maybe that's the disease. Everybody knowing you have a disease and not telling you. But there's really no disease at all, except the disease of everybody knowing you have a disease but yourself and nobody telling you. Did you know that disease is an antithesis to ease? That's where the word comes from, it often seems to me, like now, for instance. But the question is whether I have the disease or if everybody else does. That would be an epidemic. Then they would name the disease. That's what happens when lots of people know about something so much that they don't know the name for it. The other things are just incidental-like. But this disease would be called the everybody thinks they know that Jimmy has a disease, but nobody will tell him because that's the nature of the disease, at least for the first 3 months or so. Then there would be a fancier, fashion-ish name for it, and that would be shorter, but it would take longer to say. Not longer to learn, just longer to say, which particularly adds up when you stop and start to think about it for several revolutions. Ah, yes, the greatest loser in the history of the world. If you look at things as if they were just one sentence like that, then they become much clearer. Or less clear, I forget which at the moment. But regardless of that, if you isolate things from their history or their principles or everything like that, then something happens. Something will happen. Oh, how I hate America. But to be the greatest loser in the history of the world, that would just about do it. Almost. But with any type of potential or promise, wouldn't it be more lovely just to throw it all away? That's where the real value of all things come, from the frivolity and the other rahibalupad. Some other people take one day when they don't do anything at all except sit and read or do their jobs, and then they think, perhaps I won't be doing anything, just be waiting like I am now and keep on saying tomorrow, and then again, 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 and then it won't, but I just want to do something, but it won't, and that frustrates me. But those type of people are not you and me. And this is me here, Jimmy Aristotle, this is me here telling you now, so you know that it is. Like when you have the first song stuck in your head, then you have to get another song stuck in your head to get the first stuck song unstuck, but then you need to stick another one and another ad infinitum and so on. But, and this but is very significant in that it is trivial, with each successive song, the stickiness of the song decreases and decreases so that in the end, you have a lot of songs quasi-stuck, for the process rarely works out as completely as you think you hope it will, none of which has any sort of particularity or distinctness like it did for that long moment after you heard it repeatedly, after you heard it really. Like a long succession of trucks with orange lights, and they flash too much. Like oh so many cameras and photography paraphernalia in general. As for taking pictures, I by rule frown upon such activities. Firstly, by taking a photograph, you consequently must remove yourself from the scene, and further consequentially must, for all future reference to said scene, must be admittedly in absentia para loco parentis. Which brings me to secondly, that secondly being that one automatically relies on so-called photographs for future memorial purposes, that is to say, purposes having to do with the functions of memory. This supposedly has the purpose of being a memory aid of some sort, reminding the taker and anyone who is in the token picture of what individuals were wearing, how the atmosphere, ambiance, lighting, and so forth was set on that particular day, morning or evening, indoors or outdoors, and so on. I prefer by far the alternative, the supposed problem which is so-calledly avoided by the act in question. The natural alterations and distortions which the memory attaches to such events, characteristic qualities, individuals, and setting. Such will always occur, regardless of the taking of photos. Therefore, why choose to have alterations and distortions based on artificial lighting and artificial or postures and facial expressions when everyone can craft their individual memories to serve their respective collective experiences and observations? For it can never be possible to remember anything, no matter how any or thing the anything may be, to be truly recorded in the mirrors of the mind. And so the mind mirror is set this way or that, topsy-turvy and willy-nilly, clockwise a degree or counterclockwise a degree, with refractions, reflections, distractions, connections abounding without even trying to be there. I hate mirrors. Insanity is the essential characteristic human quality. You never hear or see any other types of creatures going insane much, probably because they wouldn't be around long if they did. But as humans don't have to worry about survival, but of a different kind, oh yes, yes they do, but that's beside the point, and a little too far to the southwestial tangent, they can be insane as it pleases them, which it does quite frequently from what I've told myself on the subject. And it is insanity which sets about all entertainment, diversions, and recreation as such. Everything that was in the slanted sense of the word was because of it, and that's not too bad. Not too good either, but perhaps somewhere in between, and that is not too bad, for the most part, and the least part too, and the rest of the parts just to be on the safe side, and the unsafe side, and however many sides there may be, regardless of their safety, as concerns the criteria for adjectival boundaries and fortifications, and anything else on the outside, but not yet on the inside, and most everything in between, and out between two, and in between between. No, not that last one. Everything except the in-between between then, and we're set. For now. But then again, people, and perhaps it's just people that are now, are the laziest sort of creature and won't do a thing unless it is absolutely necessitated of them, and then they virtually have no choice but to do it. That is why there's no such thing as virtue anymore. Still, there is a certain satisfaction. Not at all similar to the satisfactory feeling felt when you can and could do something to make most everyone pleased and enlightened, but you don't because you'd rather be your own life. It is not waste, this latter satisfacing ideal, and not laziness, but is very content without having to be either of those. It's something almost ostensibly close to consciousness, if consciousness is what one calls it. But not if two calls it that, then it starts to get useless. But with three, it's slightly better, though still not as better as none. And four and any other number I will refrain to comment on for fear of getting the chills or a strange lightheartedness which is only pleasurable upon reflection and recognition of it, but not during the process, whatever it is, itself. And so that's all there is. Except for everything else. But that can wait until never, because I feel I have exhausted this topic for myself for any and all future reference, and by future I mean never. Which is the same thing, if anyone would realize it, that is to say. Which they do. So it is said. That is, Lee, that is. I waste time, so that time does not waste me. I fill it up with all sorts of going-forths, so that I have to do so many stuffs and others like those. But not rushed, and not looking at a clock, which seems like time, but is not. No, it tells time, and time does not need to be told, nor does it like so much telling and toldings, and I blame it, but not so much that I don't know how to blame it, which is all anyone can ask of something like that, and it won't answer. But, and this often works, it may be and is sometimes useful to ignore whether someone is Catholic or a Republican or wearing a short-sleeved shirt or has eyes like your aunt on your mother's side or thinks about what is going on somewhere else or doesn't think about what is going on somewhere else or if they talk or if they speak or if they say or if they have views or if they are connected to each and every other soul on the face of humanity or if they aren't the face of humanity or they look or they sound or they see what is not there or there are things which speak of them so that they don't have to speak for themselves, or if they walk standing straight, or if their heads seem ill-shaped or misusing them, or if they are they, or if they are them, or if they are not, or sometimes, or always, or feeling through them, or not, or casting them down with a foul glance in all watchword directions, or jumping, or peeling, or eye, or not similar, but so appealing and therapeutic, or pessimistic, or roar, or fried eggs, or beans, or pillows, or sandwiches uncooked and moist, or giant straws lying bestrewn by the floor of a barn, or slamming a door, or light striking footsteps, or hitting a ball, or whispers, or the churning of engines, or a small crack in the wall, or feeling of an eighth day before the fall when the wind is blowing and no one is out except the sun, or more zooming, or a cough in low tones, and a small drop of spit, or murmurs on the tabletops, or shirts that are always there, or something moving past, or you moving future, or clouds up in everything and bearing down gracefully with a force of raging feathers, or five, or the way something looks when you don't look at it, or the regular rhythm of touch, or thumbs up and down silently, or they again, or blue like a whale, or fast and slow, or shining afternoon storms through the fields of flowers and little rivulets of wet grass and stems and green and buzz, or yelling in a soft voice, or difficulty swallowing, or hairs, or perfumed grapes and tumbleweeds, or fittingly fit along the rails without checking a stopwatch, or watching a stop check, or looking for looking, or no one knows it's me, and seeing that they see that they know what they're doing is so wrong, or long through and above down, or shaking because of pressing down with the hands and you can't hold your arm up anymore, or the dance, or dance dancing, or the spirit of reflection, or yellow sand gurgling down in the toes, or the reflection of spirit, or in the snow with crunches and footsteps simultaneous and passing, or anything, or the red blocks piled high below a basement window disregarded because they've been used, or bells ringing, or horses not anywhere around, or something flying, or silver, or ribbons, or growing past an old house, or music, anything that is remembered, and just be you with the thing as a thing. Even if you are both people, if you don't tell each other, then no one will figure it out. But when you see a sidewalk or a path or a floor or a horizontal surface that looks like it hasn't been walked on in a long time, maybe forever, you want to walk on it, just to say later that you've done it and it's done. And this is okay, because that surface must be getting very lonely. Unless it's one of those high and mighty surfaces, and in that case it's still okay, because then it deserves to be walked on and you can think about stomping instead of loneliness. Though one is just as good as the other, both are better than each other. Though that isn't always the case, it is here. There. And of course, anything that begs to be understood, but which goes unappeased, must be seen as immoral. I heard about, or perhaps I knew of, a woman who painted a hammer and a giant turkey, at a respectable distance apart, mind you, and everyone read such lewdness and shock value into it that the hammer was changed into a white blob, and so was the giant turkey. That makes an alarm a thing most special, because its memory adds life to it instead of subtracts, or divides in some unfortunate cases. But sirens are a different matter, regarding which there is so great a literature, of volumes upon volumes, that it would be unfair and unkind to give proper summary of them, especially here in this paltry space. So I leave it to be betokened to the gentle you, with sincerest hopes that it may be serviceable in most respects, except, of course, the least transgressive and important. For instance, a bird on a tree, or a set of stairs, commonly called a staircase. The good thing, possibly the only thing, about a staircase is that it makes you less tired. No matter how exhausted you are at the bottom of it, once you exert the marginal effort to put your foot up on that first step, the rest takes care of itself, and you get to the top not knowing how you got there, and certainly not thinking that you had the energy to get you there. But you did. You do. That is not deadening, like the release of a high-pitched man's laugh. It's all like that song. No song could be an X song, because it is a song and has a lot of different notes in it, though there are some with one, too. Zenith-like partridge. Hold on. Sometimes I'm amazed by how many people know me and how many people I know, especially when I spit in front of them. I very much enjoy spitting in front of other people, especially when it's particularly sloppy. People just know you're sincere that way, especially if you know them. And the wind gusts rolling through the trees make an awful, peaceful noise. Through sheets and planes and waverings of glass, too, the wind blows the leaves all out and through. It doesn't take the spit anywhere, though. I feel something about that. You do, too. A brazen disconfidence. Or is it a brazen unconfidence? That's very much like what I do when I select a day to wave hello to everyone I meet, and then pretend to be saying hello to someone behind them, even if there is no one behind them. They look like they've been punched in the face, especially if they're carrying something heavy. Not at all like when you listen to music around a lot of people and you close your eyes and then you open them because you are so taken that you forget that there are other people. And when you open your eyes, everyone seems to be standing up, but you're sitting crouched down and they turn around and seem to ask you, what, so you're enjoying this? And then you close and open your eyes at various points in the music or whatever. But you're not sure if you really want to do that because you like the effect or if you just like to look like you're doing that because you like the effect. Because both feel the same. I feel. It's like when there's a decision on your shoulders, and so you just hold off and don't do anything, figuring, rightly, that someone else's morality will kick in, and they will solve it properly and finally without any fuss. Other people's morality is very generous like that, especially when it doesn't exist. Or when you want to think or express your thoughts, but you feel that if you hold off and wait to think until more things have happened, then you'll come up with something so new and so old. Like if you're going to do many things, you're not sure whether to reflect in between the things or after all of them to get the cumulative effect. But then you might lose the individual things floating around temporarily. That's why I'm glad I don't have to worry about that, or anything, because I've decided that I don't have to. The greatest loser in the world, with brazen confidence, but not. Yeah, not at all. Like those post-M. Odrin fellows. The only good thing about post-M. Odrinism is that no one knows what it is. Not like the dew licking the grass, or leaves raining from the trees, or three geese flying in a diagonal line in a slightly easterly, that is to say, direction. Or like food, which is good. Now, this thing over there, besides it, but not back around through the windows, reminds me of when I saw 18 vacuums in a big container. I've never seen so many vacuums in one sitting, or was it standing, or was it walking, before. So I tried to count them. They were 18, about, except that the two people by the container were thinking it was normal to have 18 vacuums and were wondering where I got the nerve to count them. Just like I wondered how they had the nerve to have 18 vacuums available to anyone's eyesight in one sitting, standing, walking, like that. So we had a nice mutual cooperative thing, like I always do. And good, too. Now, forget about the vacuums, because it was all made up and not real, but fake and made up. You forget about it, even if you remember about it now, which you shouldn't, because it's made up. No one remembers anything made up, only the real things that are associated or represented or represented by it. And in addition, there are times when someone is looking very intently at nothing in particular, when they touch their lips to their fingers, that I know that these are the great people, the great women and the great men, and they are now. Whether there were greats before or whether there will be since, I don't care. But just to be clear on this, that does not mean that they or anyone is good at anything or has to be. Like how people who drive become good at driving and turning a car or whatever and do it without thinking. It worries me that they lose something by becoming like all the others who know so conformatively how to do that. They had to give something up to be a part of that group, to learn exactly how to become like all the rest. But they enjoy themselves, and that is all that matters to them. But I'll walk to be cautious and like a one-man parade at times when I want to, and even at times when I don't. That's how it is for me. The great people, the great women, the great men, the great everyone. And they're here, walking around, too. And I walk to, and I can hear chords of an electric guitar inside my head and hum them to myself and be completely inside the tune but not share with anybody. And I can walk up boldly to someone sitting behind a desk who may or may not be talking to someone else or reading and say, I think you have something for me waiting, and I'm going to pick it up now. And it is something weird, not like books or a note or sandwiches, but a big bag, and they are confused, but they see that it has my name on it, so they give it over to me, and I walk away, and they keep sitting because they have to help other people who come up to them and ask them for normal things like books or a note or sandwiches.